You're listening to a special ocean-themed edition of The Naked Scientists with Helen Scales and Sarah Castor-Perry. A major landmark in ocean science was reached in October 2010 with the completion of the world's first census of marine life. It was 10 years in the making, involved hundreds of scientists all across the globe who joined forces to take on the enormous challenge of discovering as much as possible about the abundance, diversity and distribution of life in the oceans. Sarah and I went along to a special conference in London that celebrated the achievements of the census. To find out how the whole thing got started, we chatted to Jesse Ossobel from the Sloan Foundation about a very big idea he had a little over 10 years ago.
On July 2nd, 1996, a deep sea expert named Fred Grassley walked into my office and said, "I think something big needs to be done for marine life, for marine biodiversity." And he said, obviously, that's because overfishing and pollution and problems, but also because so much remains to be discovered. He had published an estimate that there might be between 1 and 10 million forms of marine life. And so I said, "Well, Fred, give me a list of what's actually known today." And he was embarrassed. He said, "I can't give you a list. We don't have one." And I said, "But people have been doing marine biology since Aristotle for 2,500 years. How can you not have a list? There must be a textbook with a list of all the forms of marine life." And he said, "Well, you know, the sponge people have their lists, but they don't always agree with the corals people, and they don't talk to the anchovy people, and the anchovy people don't like the tuna people, and the tuna people don't like the shark people, because sharks sometimes attack tuna." So he said, "You know, there's a lot of information, but it's just not organized, and most of the ocean's unexplored." So we talked for about an hour and a half, and at the end of the hour and a half, we had the idea to have a big observational program in which we'd have hundreds of expeditions and really try to get better, real information, observations. And Fred also had the basic idea. He said, "But we have to have a common database, so the anchovy people and the sea star people and the herring people can't all just go off in different directions. So we really want to know everything." So we both thought the idea was wonderful, and we went off in separate directions and started talking to our colleagues about it. And most people said the idea is wonderful, and most people said the idea is crazy. Some of them said it's romantic. Some of them said it's impossible. But no one said, "Don't try to do it." You know, it made people somehow smile or laugh that we wanted to count all the fish in the sea. So we had 3 whole years of feasibility studies during 1997, 98, 99. So we did do our homework. We had lots of consultations. We wanted to make sure that the technology was powerful enough. We wanted to make sure that people would cooperate. We wanted to make sure that if we finished, as we've now done, that people would feel it was worthwhile. So we had 3 years of feasibility studies, at the end of which more people felt it was a great idea, and some people still thought it was crazy. But fortunately, the people with the checkbook at the Sloan Foundation said, "Well, we should take risks. That's why we're here. You know, we're not like a federal government agency. We should take a chance on something." And the president and the trustees of Sloan said, "We will support this program for 10 years as long as it meets certain milestones." And that's very important, because if you talk to lots of naked scientists, you know that it's hard to get clothing for more than 1 year, 2 years at a time. It's very hard to get long-term commitments. So the fact that one organization, even though it couldn't provide all the money, in the end it provided, you know, 12% of the money, but it said, we will be steady, you know, we'll provide basic support every year so you all can talk to each other, coordinate, make your plans, and if you do well each year, you know, we're just going to keep supporting you until you finish in 2010. And so in 2000, we started organizing. And Fred's view was we should get in the water quickly. We'd already had some years of feasibility studies, but he said, you know, many programs, you write a plan, and then you write a plan, you write a plan to write a plan to write a plan, and people spend 10 years planning and never get in the water or launch the rocket. And so Fred said, let's start doing things right away, showing the kinds of work that we think should be done, and then try to attract people to the project by example, rather than by just inviting people to write documents. And so we started right away in 2000-2001 with some expeditions in which we tried to again show that we were interested not only in the squid but lots, you know, but we were interested in what lived on the bottom, and we were interested in seabirds and all of the different forms of marine life. And people became enthusiastic. In the end, almost everyone participated, even though, you know, we never went out and dragged people in, but people, it was a kind of voluntary Noah's Ark. So the Abyssal Plains people and the Seamounts people and the Reefs people, they just kind of started to come to us and say, well, we want to be part of this. And it grew, and by 2004, 2005, we basically had all the different habitats and the different species represented.
And I can see by the grin on your face that it's clearly a wonderful experience for you to be here, stood here 10 years down the line with your crazy, romantic, impossible project finished.
It's been the best experience of my professional career, maybe the best experience of my life. I feel a little bit like an Olympic diver who chose a very hard dive, and then, you know, you do the triple somersault and it worked. So I have a little bit of that feeling today. So I'm very proud. And what we've, of course, I'm proud because what we've done is important also because, you know, it's not easy being a fish these days, and we should be a lot more sensitive about how we treat life in the oceans.
Jesse Ossabell, the co-founder of the Census of Marine Life, telling me, Helen Scales, about how the whole grand project got started.
We really did have a fantastic time at the Census conference, and not just because of lots of champagne. It was great to meet so many scientists who've dedicated themselves to studying the ocean, from people using DNA barcoding to identify tiny critters to those tracking the global migrations of ocean giants like sharks and whales. And we got to meet one of our absolute heroes, the legendary explorer Sylvia Earle. Here's what she had to say about the Census.
It's been said several times, and I'll say it again, this is a wonderful beginning. 10 years is a long time, and it has set the stage for whatever follows. This really has stirred things up and makes it perfectly obvious that the great era, maybe the greatest era of exploration, is truly just beginning. Some think that it's all over, that we have to reach skyward to find new frontiers. And, of course, we can find them there. We need to do that. But mostly, we need to get to know this part of the universe, this part of the solar system, this place that keeps us alive. It's critical in terms of that great dream of humankind, and that is to have peace. We cannot have peace among ourselves if we fail to make peace with nature. And we're not. Right now, we're not. We're cutting forests that have been growing for thousands of years. We're mining the ocean of its wildlife that has been developing for hundreds of millions of years. And I can forgive it only on the basis that people just don't know. They don't know. And yet, we have the power of knowing, and the Census of Marine Life has gone a long way toward putting things in perspective, that not only have we just begun to get to know this ocean planet and to appreciate that our lives are dependent on the ocean and the creatures. It's not just rocks and water out there. It's a living system. It gives us oxygen. It grabs the carbon out of the atmosphere. It drives the food webs, drives not just the carbon cycle and the oxygen cycle, but the water cycle. It's where 99%, 97% of the water on the planet is. And without the ocean, no rain, no water, no life. We absolutely are dependent. We are sea creatures every bit as much as those magnificent numbers of individuals that the Census of Marine Life has been cataloging and celebrating at this occasion.
That was the wonderful Sylvia Earle, pioneer of deep sea exploration. She spent thousands of hours underwater and still holds the record for walking on the seabed deeper than anyone else after she ventured down 400 metres inside a diving suit called Jim back in 1979.
From protons to photons and gluons to muons, the Naked Scientists. Science that's fundamentally more fun. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.